wanted to write beautiful. It was at, it came from a need to go back to the point in my own life where I had lost mine. And unlike Madison, who only, it took 300 pages to find hers, it took mine like 25 years to find it. And I was so mad that I had lost it. But just like Madison, I had looked for love and beautiful, like in all the wrong places, and ended up losing myself, things that were treasured to me that I should have kept. And I wanted to take my readers on that same journey, and don't give them 25 years, but 300 pages less of what it is to find and to hold and to know what beautiful is. So this is my interpretation of what I feel, how we perceive, even for men and for women, what our beauty is to the world. Madison Oliver stayed mostly to herself, but Nikki Powers had been her best friend since junior high. Since Madison moved to the west side of Detroit, Nikki occasionally visited from the suburbs where Madison used to live with her mother. Madison's father gave Nikki the suspect eyes he allowed her in his house. A man of the church, he looked over at his daughter. "I thought you had a lot of studying to do tonight." "We do," Nikki said in Madison's defense. "Mr. Dow, your kind daughter is helping me with my final thesis." Her father looked hard at Nikki. "I would like a private word with you in my study, Nikki Powers, before you corrupt my daughter." He looked at Madison. "I'll send her upstairs when I'm done, Madison." Madison looked worried. It wasn't the first time her father had wanted a private word with Nikki. Nikki looked up at Madison at the top of the stairs. "Don't worry, Maddie. He'll just preach to me about not corrupting his daughter once again." She winked at her and assured her friend things would be fine. Madison relaxed and watched Nikki go into her father's study. Instead of going into her attic bedroom, she waited in the hallway. After 20 minutes, Nikki came bounding out of the office and up the stairs. She grabbed Madison's hand and dragged her to the bedroom to ensconce themselves inside. "Why'd you even move here?" Nikki said, annoyed. "He treats you like a child. You're 3 years shy of 30. "He's a pastor," Madison said proudly in her father's defense. Nikki austerely corrected her. "An assistant pastor, Maddie, and a control freak. He wants to punish you because he's still angry at your mother for leaving him," she snorted. "I need to use your bathroom." She went into the half bath before Madison could say anything. Taking a moment to push away Nikki's harsh words about her father, Madison wasn't going to discuss how she needed to stay with him because she was broke while trying to finish her master's, unlike Nikki, supported by her semi-wealthy parents who brought everything and anything for their only daughter. Unfortunately, Madison wasn't Cyrus Dowell's only child, just his oldest. After her mother left him, when Maddie was only 5, Cyrus married another woman and had 2 kids by her, plus cared for 3 of the other woman's children. Madison's stepmother was even more controlling than her father, and their children were cruel and spoiled as well. Yet Cyrus didn't want it rumored that he had turned his daughter away when she needed help. He liked his religious persona, so he gave her a room in the attic, but it had barely enough light to help with her study, and she was so far from the internet box she could barely get a signal from her laptop. Cyrus made it difficult for anyone to see Madison because he didn't want her mother's people in his house. Nikki was the only one who was allowed in his home, but always had to be preached to. Madison knew that once her project was accepted and the grant given, her days of living in this place would be over. She'd be able to step out on faith with her lifelong research and do things on her own. Time was just going very slow and painfully for her. Madison pressed her ear against the bathroom door and listened. Water ran, and then she heard Nikki throwing up. "Are you okay?" she questioned. "Yeah," Nikki panicked. "I haven't been eating right." She came out the bathroom. "Your final thesis, how's it going?" Madison pursed her lips together, not wanting to speak of the project. "It's fine. Dr. Barfield believes our samples will come out right this time, and the grant will be all ours." Is he just saying that because his tenure is on the line and all the personal money he's invested in it? Shaking her head, Madison said, "No, Nikki, he believes in me. I know it should work this time." Nikki sighed. "When are you going to give me more details? It sounds so interesting." "Soon. I don't want to jinx it," Madison pretended, straightening up her vanity table as if it was very important, but really just wanting to not look Nikki's way. Nikki was gorgeous. She reminded Madison of the model Amon, tall, dark, elegantly beautiful. She carried herself so regally and exquisite, making men lustful and women jealous. Standing in her shadow most of her life, Madison felt honored to be her friend, yet slightly wary. As they grew up together, Madison had come to the realization that Nikki wasn't so book smart, and perhaps envied Madison's intellect and fast learning skills. Madison didn't mind explaining things to Nikki at first, but then in high school, Nikki convinced her to let her copy papers and even do them for her. Madison wasn't stupid. She knew Nikki needed her, and Madison didn't want to give up on the relationship. In her mind, she hoped she could learn from Nikki to be brave, confident, and courageous. Be beautiful. Nikki interrupted Madison's pondering. Let's hurry up and get me to understand all this. Madison had to help Nikki with her studies most of their life, but Nikki decided to go after her master's at a private college while Madison barely got a scholarship to get in at her public university in Wayne State in Detroit. Once Nikki was gone for the night, Madison stayed up, studied more, updated databases and reports. She was dedicated to her project and nothing would get in her way of accomplishing her goal. Nothing. At 5 a.m, her alarm clock woke her from a dead sleep. Somehow she had ended up face down in her books. The slobber from her mouth had adhered the paper to her face. Yet, with no car, Madison had to get up early for school. The bus she had to take to pass the New Center area of Detroit was 3 blocks away from her house. The morning was cold for April. A light snow had fallen despite the fact the season was going into spring. Yet her father refused to let her wear pants. He said God never wanted a woman to wear pants, so no woman in his household was allowed. To help her legs not suffer the bitter, brutal wind of Detroit, Madison wore thick thighs, high stockings. She found early on she was allergic to nylons, so thick skirts with thick stockings kept her warm enough as long as the wind didn't blow. Madison hurried out the house in the cold morning air and made her way down the street. At the bus stop, she had to keep her senses on alert because the stop was in front of an empty duplex that had been torn apart and often had wild animals or even vagrants squatting inside. She always tried to time her walk to the bus stop so she didn't have to wait long. Although some days she cut it close, and if she missed the bus, it was an hour and a half wait. This meant she would miss her lab time at school but would still be on time for class. She hated missing lab because it would mean she would have to stay at school longer afterwards. This was why Madison couldn't get a job with a steady income. This research was very important to her, and she had to stay broke until it was fully granted she would. The sun resting on the morning horizon didn't stop a strong wind from whipping about her, picking up the thick fabric of her skirt and showing her legs to anyone near. She pushed the fabric down, caught off guard, and looked around frantically, hoping no one had seen. The only cars parked in the street near her were an Explorer, a ratty broken down bus, and a 1970 teal Lincoln Continental in pristine condition. All the vehicles seemed to be empty, although the Lincoln had darkened windows, except on the windshield, so she couldn't be absolutely sure. The wind blew again, lifting her skirt up and exposing a good amount of her stocking thighs. Madison anxiously looked down the street impatiently for the bus. A door slammed from a home across the street, and a young girl ran out of the house and jumped into the passenger side of the Lincoln. The lights turned on, the engine roared, and a window on the driver's side of the Lincoln rolled down slowly. A dark man wearing a baseball cap and dark hoodie looked her way. He had seen her. He had been watching her. Embarrassed, Madison looked away, praying the bus would come. Thankfully, the huge city bus pulled in front of her, and she quickly got on. Sitting on the side where she could see the Lincoln, she saw the driver again. He took off his sunglasses, and he was looking at her. He had a thin goatee, clear chocolate skin, and sensual lips that curled into a wicked smile. The bus drove off, but their eyes seemed to stay connected until she couldn't see him anymore. That lustful look in his eyes, it had made her feel beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah.